I first took ayahuasca 20 years ago in a high-rise apartment on the East River with two Californian neo-shamans, a Caucasian couple in flowing robes who brought the brew from Hawaii. At the time, the Vine of Souls was hardly known in New York City. Michael Brownstein, an older poet friend of mine, first told me about it. He belonged to a small underground community of drinkers and got me an invite. That initial journey was nauseating and not particularly revelatory. I had one experience of witness consciousness, watching the process of thoughts forming inside of my head like synaptic clouds. I saw a waterfall cascading in the jungle. I also experienced intense nausea and purged uneventfully. Even so, I was intrigued enough to want to go deeper. Inspired by Jonathan Ott's Ayahuasca Analogues, 1994, I started cooking ayahuasca in my apartment with friends. We bought the powdered plant matter from an online source, Basement Shaman. We drank it without ceremony, sprawled in my living room, listening to Beethoven, Bartok, and Thelonious Monk as we journeyed through astral realms. These journeys left me yearning to explore traditional methods. A year or two later, I went to the Amazon jungle in Ecuador to drink ayahuasca with an indigenous group, the Sequoia, whose future was threatened by deforestation and the encroachment of the oil companies. The Sequoia possessed what seemed to be an ancient tradition with the medicine, which had shaped their culture and spiritual worldview. There were an estimated 30,000 Sequoia living between Peru and Ecuador at the beginning of the 20th century. By the time I visited them, their number had dwindled to fewer than 650, split between two distant villages. Traveling to the Sequoia homeland by plane, bus, and boat, I was struck by the eerie correlation between our industrial civilization's rampant destruction of the rainforest and the power of this ancient visionary medicine that seems to be snaking out of the jungle to reach us in our metropolitan homes. As we pollute the Amazon, strip mine, log, and turn into farms, soybean and oil palm plantations that rapidly turn to dust bowls and scrubland, we also heedlessly annihilate traditional cultures like the Sequoia. When we drink ayahuasca, we find that these cultures hold precious, even essential knowledge for our future. In 2002, I published my first book, Breaking Open the Head, a personal and philosophical inquiry into psychedelic drugs and indigenous shamanic practices. In that work, I explore the gamut of visionary substances, including natural plants like psilocybin mushrooms, peyote, and iboga, as well as synthetic compounds such as LSD, MDMA, ketamine, and 2CB. At the time the book came out, there was little mainstream interest in this field. During the counterculture chaos of the late 1960s, governments made psychedelics illegal, even though just a few years earlier, leading psychologists were promoting the compounds as wonder drugs, the most powerful tools for exploring and understanding the human mind we had ever found. Over the next few decades, our society's gatekeepers demonized and repressed them to an extraordinary degree. Governments forbade scientists from experimenting with psychedelics on human subjects all over the world. Almost all reference to them was removed from psychology textbooks. In the 1990s in New York, where I lived, if you tried to speak seriously about the visionary states induced by these compounds, you would be ridiculed and dismissed. As I researched Breaking Open the Head, I went through a series of astonishing initiations. I went to the equatorial jungles of Gabon in West Africa to take iboga, a visionary plant sacrament that has become renowned for its ability to combat addiction, in an initiation with the Bwiti community. For hours I lay on the ground of the Bwiti temple, traveling back through my life and replaying early childhood memories as well as scenes from my recent past, while the community played twangling harps and pounding drums around us. I visited the Mazatecs in Oaxaca, Mexico, where the magic mushrooms were rediscovered by Gordon and Valentina Wasson, an American banker and his wife in the 1950s. I sat in ceremony with a descendant of the celebrated shaman Maria Sabina. I visited the legendary psychedelic chemist Sasha Shulgin and sampled some of his creations. Shulgin took the known psychedelic compounds and added molecules to them, transforming their effects. Through these journeys, I realized psychedelics were not something useless and marginal, as my society believed.